Hi, it's James Adomian here at Just for Laughs in Montreal.
Hi, guys. Showbizmonkeys.com. Around this town, I'm all right. Around this town, I'm all right. I mean, no consequence when you playing with the fire. Move to the left.
I want to welcome Jesse Olson, a Toronto-based comedian who's been tearing up the comedy scene around Toronto. She will be hosting Hot Babe Energy at Tall Boys as part of the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Now, you've been doing comedy for a few years. You've recently been touring, including going to Vancouver, and are now hosting a show that's part of the Just for Laughs Festival. This must be really exciting. Like, how do you feel being a part of the festival like this?
So I'm wildly thrilled. I really like when it came to, I've been producing shows in the city for a couple of years now, and I'm having such a blast producing shows that this is obviously something I've wanted to tick off, I think, since the moment I ran my first show. And I feel very privileged and honored that it happened faster than I expected it to. So yeah, I can't. Just having my face on the JFL website is like one of the coolest things to really put in my cap.
I mean, your shows, I've been to a few of them. They are so fun. So I can't think of a better show to be a part of the festival. You always have a great energy and a great audience at your shows. So that's awesome. Now, you went from being a big fan in the Toronto community scene to hosting some of the hottest shows and podcasts in the city. You got Hot Babe Energy, Fresh Hot Babes, Double Date with you and Gordon Hecht, Your Place for Mind, which is also the name of your podcast. What inspired you to make the jump from the audience to the stage?
Yeah, so I was a huge stand-up fan and very much a Toronto comedy stand-up fan, more than just comedy in general. I for years, like leading up before the pandemic, I went to so many shows and was just, I just love being an audience member so much and love being surprised at comedy and being inspired by it. And when I decided to start the podcast and have some comedians on, that was really, it was so exciting to get to know some of these people who I'd been seeing on stage for years and learn a little bit more kind of about their thought process. So when I decided to take a comedy course through Bad Dog, it wasn't even necessarily to get into doing comedy. I was just so curious about learning more about the writing process because I was so fascinated with it and I've been into writing for a really long time. And so I took the course, I tried my first open mic, and it was like I got off stage and was like, oh, well, now I have to do this, I guess. And I fell in love with it so, so fast. And yeah, really hit the ground running as soon as I realized how into this I was. And I'd quit my job 4 months later. It was really, wow. Really wild and quite the ride. And so cool to be able to produce a ton of different shows in the city over these last couple of years.
And like they're all awesome shows. So if you're in Toronto, I can't recommend them highly enough. Get out and see Jesse's shows.
I really do pride myself in like the energy that happens at those shows. And a lot of that is because I was an audience member for so long. And I did go to a bunch of shows where there was comics booked that had some material that really made me uncomfy. And I really decided that when I got started doing this, I wanted to make sure everyone was vetted and they were safer space shows, but they were still super dirty and fun and raunchy at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, like, all of your shows are, they're body positive, sex positive, but they're also comfortable, which is a really difficult thing to do. I mean, a lot of comedians just think, oh, I can be blue and just drop dick jokes over and over and over again and think that's going to earn them a laugh. How important have you found it to create these safe spaces and have you found that's a problem in comedy just in general?
Yeah. So I think there was years where all the shows I went to were pretty like safe and comfy shows. And so I didn't think it was a problem. I was just in love with going to see stand-up comedy. I thought it was a little bit odd that the audiences were usually cishet men, but I was like, whatever, I'm still having a good time. This is great. And then it was really over the pandemic when I started going to some outdoor shows and stuff that were happening, where I was seeing a whole slew of different opinions and some stuff that really did make me feel really uncomfortable. And I stuff that I brought a bunch of friends out to, and now there's like, I brought like six women with me, and now there's someone on stage yelling some really messed up stuff. So I think for me, it was always important to create shows that people could come to, like they could come and see a comedy show for the first time and have a good time no matter what, and not have to worry about being afraid of what would be said. And then the other half of that is still being really crystal clear that my shows are dirty shows and the marketing is very obvious, so everyone knows what they're getting into. I joke on stage that it's like, if you're not okay with spicy comedy, why are you at a comedy show with a condom on the poster? Like, I really tried.
Yeah, you can't make it any more obvious than your promotional material.
Yeah, and there's just, I have had a ton of people come to check out my shows who've never been to a comedy show before, but they saw that this was a safer space comedy show that was really geared towards femme and queer audiences. So they took a chance on it and had so much fun, and then they keep coming back. So it's been really cool to see this audience grow and have them be really loyal and come check out all my different shows. It's been really, really awesome.
I am not good at blue jokes. I'm not. It's just not a talent that I have. I end up being like way too wordy, and it gets into like some bizarre exploration of 1970s cinema when I'm trying to tell a sex joke. and then on the other hand, there's those guys, predominantly guys, who just like, just talk about their penis ad nauseum. So how do you find, like, do you have a trick to finding the funny when it comes to like sex and dirty jokes and stuff like that? I don't like the word dirty, because that seems judgy, because it's not dirty. It's sexy jokes. Like, how do you find that?
I think it's really about understanding, like, yeah, what is it about the joke? Like, what are you really trying to prove? Like, where's the truth in all of this? And I think so many people, when they're doing blue humor or raunchy humor, it's like the punchline isn't like your dick or cum or whatever. Like that can, those can be things that are popped in that will make people giggle because we like giggling when someone says the word cum. But cum can't be your punchline. Like it does, I think, need to have like real, like there is like a real message you're trying to explain. And yes, those messages will end in a dirty punchline or a raunchy punchline, but I think it still has to be rooted in truth. And I think that was one of the biggest things I learned when I first got into writing material. It's like, your punchline can't just be the word anal. Like it has to be like, everyone does anal now. So like it has to be something that is like bigger and more relatable on, I think, a more human level than just being about sex. So I think it really does come down to writing. I love writing, and I love like ripping apart a joke and trying it in different ways. And yeah, finding other things in life that really relate back to the sex and dating realm. I think it's a bit of a game to figure out what it is you're really trying to prove and then how to have a lot of fun with that.
Now, do you have any comedians that like inspire or inform your style?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I feel like it's so hard to name who, because there's so many comedians here in Toronto that I've really taken a ton of stuff from. I know early days when I was getting into it, like Ali Pearce and Natalie Norman were really, really big influences for me. And I love both of their comedy so much. I think Al Val is just like my favorite comedian to see in the city right now. And I feel like every time I see her perform, I'm like learning more about myself as a person and who I want to be, which is so exciting. And then Tamara Chavon, I've been seeing Tamara do comedy for such a long time. And I have the pleasure now of being really good friends with her. And I feel like every time I see her do comedy again, she's just like coming into different angles with material that always surprises me. And it's really, really exciting to watch.
Awesome. Now, are there any big shows at the festival that you're excited for, looking forward to catching?
Yeah. So far I saw Michelle Wolf the other night, and oh my goodness, that was such an incredible performance. Like probably the best comedy show I've seen so far. Tonight I'm going to see Patty Harrison, so I'm really excited about that. And then later in the week, I'm really pumped for Kat Cohen. I'm also going to see Bad Dates with Jamila Jamil, and I'm really, really excited for that. Oh my goodness. There's still a whole list of people. There's so many on the fest that I'm excited for. It's also just great to be in these rooms with all these people. Like, I've been going to Late Bad for like the late night show that's been happening at Comedy Bar. And last night, Jay Jordan just popped in and I'm going to see him tonight too. So I think just being around the festival and all of the energy of all these incredible writers and performers is just inspiring on its own.
Those late shows are always the most exciting because it's just comedians playing, and often like half the audience is the other comedians. So you get to really see people have fun. So I always try to get out to those when I do the festival.
Yeah, I think that was last year. I caught Late Bad at the very end of it. And so I only saw one or two of them. And so this year was like, no, I'm going to see as many as my body can handle.
Yeah, it's worth it, but you feel it the next day.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, you also have a podcast. Do you want to tell folks about that?
Yeah, so we actually just went into our fourth season, just launched this week. So Your Place or Mine is a podcast that's all about comedy, climaxes, and conversations with friends. So it's been running, I think I've had 130 episodes-ish. Wow. That we put out since its inception. It started during the pandemic because I needed a hobby. And really, I think the podcast launched my comedy career, although that was not at all the intention of getting started with it. And it 100% gave me a step up getting into comedy because I think I had really kind of figured out what I wanted to talk about and who I was as a performer. And I've had so many hilarious comedians on it. So I'm really, really excited for this upcoming season. I've got tons of great guests, and there is a really loyal following of babes who always listens in every week. And I so appreciate that. I'm having a ton of fun with the pod.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So there are two questions I like to ask every comedian whenever I interview them. So the first is, do you have a favorite comedy special or a comedy album that you really sort of think of fondly or really enjoy?
I think one of the first album recordings I went to was Adam Christie. His album General Anxiety Disorder. I had the chance to see him record, I think it was at the Ossington. So this was a minute ago. And I listened to that album dozens of times. He's such a clever writer. And I've been a fan of Adam for a really long time. And I still will listen to that album probably once a year because it's just so much fun how he plays with the crowd. That's probably one that I go back to the most.
Awesome. And what is your most bonkers comedy experience? I've had people who played for nudist shows and wedding parties and private parties for wedding parties. What's your most bonkers comedy experience so far?
I really think it was the first show that I ran at Oasis Aqua Lounge, which is a sex club here in Toronto. I do have the pleasure of running shows there somewhat regularly now, but that first show was unlike anything I'd experienced before. Also because we went early and just hung out with all of these people. So I've been propositioned by many couples before getting on stage and then proceeding to tell jokes to these naked strangers. And then have those same naked strangers try and hook up with me afterwards was definitely a bit of an overload in audience participation, if you know what I mean.
A lot to process. Lot to process.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, any last words, anything else you'd like to share with folks before we wrap things up?
I'm so excited for Hot Babe Energy at JFL. I have big goals for what I'd like to do with JFL in the future. And I think seeing all these shows at the Elgin have been so incredible and so inspiring to see so many comedians that I do shows with on these stages. So yeah, I just think there's going to be big things coming for Jesse Olsen and the Your Place or Mine franchise in the future. So stay tuned.